come on up. No preaching, guys. No six points in your message and all that. Testimony means you just say, this is what the Lord has done for me, and this is how he blessed me, and I think this will be a help to you. Amen. Look at this. Dave, he's ready to preach. Amen. Two-part message. Man, I'll tell you, he's ready to get up here. My goodness. Amen.
Pastor, you can appreciate this because I figured I'd be first, fast, and forgotten.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I would ask you to open up to John, and John chapter 3, and chapter 3, verse 30. Before I went to the prayer events, the Lord really put this on my heart, and I've been reading it for a few weeks. And everything that these gentlemen are going to talk about, for me, this sums it up in chapter 3, verse 30. John 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen.
Amen.
I attended the prayer events many years ago when Pastor first started, and that was back, you know, many years ago. And since that time, I kind of like got busy with everything and the cares of the world and my home and my job and everything just always seemed to come in the way. And I kind of like put it off and hadn't gone and just said, you know, I'll try to remember all the things that I had learned from those first few times. You know, keeping a short account with God and with your sins, making sure that you, you know, confess your sins. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I tried to remember those principles, and I, you know, tried to do that, but not really, you know, going to the prayer events. I went this year. I just decided that, you know, I think it's time that I go. And I'm very glad and very grateful that the pastor, you know, continues to drive us, the men, each year to the prayer events. And one of the things that I, you know, realize is that, you know, I've been asking God to forgive me of my sins, but the reason why I was asking for forgiveness was for my sake. I kept thinking about me, how it impacts me, how it would hinder my prayer life, how it would hinder my relationship with people and with my wife. And I kept thinking about how, you know, asking for, you know, sinning has an impact on all of those things. And I wanted to ask forgiveness, but I was asking for me, not realizing, you know, after going to this week, that when you sin, you're actually insulting God. You know, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and Christ endured the suffering and the pain, the whipping, the scourging, spitting in his face for us. And when we sin, that's what we're doing. You know, when we sin, knowingly, as Christians, we're making a conscious decision to do something that we know we shouldn't be doing. And it's just like spitting in God's face or spitting in the face of Jesus Christ after he had given his life for us to set us free from that penalty that we would have had to pay if it wasn't for his shed blood. So I during the sweet hour of prayer, I found myself actually going through 40 years thinking of different things that I had done that I had been sorry for and asked God's repentance, but never really apologizing to God or Jesus Christ. I felt that I owe him, you know, an apology for the things that I've done, not just to ask for forgiveness, because that's one part of it, but realizing that, you know what, I offended God, I offended Jesus Christ, and I insulted him each time that I sin. And it was through this prayer events, listening to the speakers and the different, you know, messages that we heard, that a verse came to my mind, Proverbs 26:11, I believe. And it says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. And that's exactly what I was doing, or we all do. You know, when we sin, we're just like, you know, the dog who, you know, returns to his vomit, you know, or like the pig who gets washed and returns to the mire, you know? So it was just really good to go to the prayer events. I think it's kind of like a spiritual, you know, checkup. We go to the doctor to have him check out our physical heart, I think we need to go to the prayer vans to have a spiritual checkup. And that's why, you know, I'm very grateful that I went, very glad, and thank you, Pastor, for continuing to, you know, provide this opportunity for us men and women and teens as well. Well, thank you very much.
So the prayer advance is pretty incredible. I leave and I think I'm, you know, walking with God. I think I'm pretty close with God by, you know, reading my Bible and praying and doing some service. But, you know, you go to the services and through the prayer times and you realize that there are certain things that are still getting your attention in the world. And it's incredible because every time I leave, I was talking about this with Sigrid, that you don't want to leave that spirit that you met with God. Like you're almost like sad to leave that, to have to go back to work and to, but so I was just, it's encouraging to go there. Probably if there's one message that spoke to me, it was David Gibb's message on prayer and being clean. And he gave the example that, you know, they were in this lawsuit and they were just totally getting destroyed, and they decided that they needed to pray if they were going to see God move in their lives. So they decided to just stay there that night and confess all their sins so that they'd be right with God. And they spent over 3 hours confessing their sins. And then the next day, the whole case was like, the lawyers disagreed with one another and the case was like overturned. And through that, you know, he's saying a lot of times we pray to get cleaner, but do we pray to get fully clean? And that was convicting because it's like, you know, what am I missing out on seeing impossible prayers answered because maybe I just say a quick prayer and I'm not being fully honest with God? So that spoke to me.
Amen. And you might think, why do you go to a prayer advance? If you want to get good at anything, you do something. Use the illustration of golf. If you want to get good at it, you're going to play it more and practice it. This is no different. Some might say, why do you go to the prayer advance every year? Don't you learn that here? But it's a detailed, more instructive way to look at prayer. And what I learned from this year is that the message was a culmination of David Gibbs and Harold's message of shutting the door of my closet. That when I pray, I need to have a different place. And I told my wife I'd come up with a different place. I just have to do that differently because what I've been doing, too many distractions in the way I do it. And there's only one other person at home when I'm praying. And so I decided I got to do something different, go somewhere else. David then said to get it out there, to put your request out before God, to ask the impossible. When I ask the things that I ask, like he said, they're so small, they're nothing great about prayers that I'm asking for. God's a great God, and he wants to answer those big prayers. And why do I not ask for those things? Why do I not talk about those things, just the little things? And the thing that I came away with, I think most importantly for me, again, I shared this as an example with golfing. When I prepare to go play golf somewhere, I clean my clubs, I clean my shoes, I make sure I have enough balls, I mark the balls, I make sure I have a bag of tees, I make sure everything's ready. So that when I go golf, I'm as prepared as I can be. I don't do that with my prayer life. I know God wants me to do that, to pray earnestly and fervently, to really be passionate about what I'm praying for, and to be persistent at what I'm praying for. And I've been lacking in those three things. And the statement that Harold ended with yesterday, put up on the board, he said, keep your clay wet. And what he was telling us is continue to be moldable, pliable, and willing to change in all those areas, that we might meet with God the way he wants to meet with us. Amen. And it was great to be with these guys. I enjoyed, for the guys that went for the first time, it was just fun to be with them. Just to see their desire, God, I need to learn something, I want to do something. That's why I'm here. And I was encouraged to see that.
Well, talking about being first time, I guess I was one of the youngest there because I was the first time at the prayer events. Most time it was in February, which is a little hard for me to get away. Now they have it in January. It works out great. Some of the things, there can be nothing wrong in getting away from phones, computers, TVs, studying God's Word, hearing it preached. studying with, praying with the God's men and praying on your own. Like I said, getting clean, as it's been mentioned. The preaching is great, and the rip-roaring singer is passing just loud and gets you up there. Amen. And that. And not that there isn't any humor. Mr. Gibbs is a great speaker. He's also a great storyteller. One little thing he said is he likes his fruit baskets, but it's pitiful when they only have fruit, since he likes them filled with Snickers. And he's only miserable when he had a juice for a couple days till he figured out he could juice a Snicker bar. But one of the best things was Dr. Les taught Friday on brokenness. And the last thing he said, which was important, our failures are never final as long as the grace of God is operating.
Amen. Wow, a lot of people here. All right. I'm going to start by Dave stole my things I was going to say, so I'm going to just keep it shorter than him and say, Jesus wept. He wept for me. But, all right, to be serious about it, this is my first time at the Prayer Advance. I've been here for 19 years, and every time I've had an excuse, I've had work. It's my first time away from my family, actually, and I really enjoyed it. Some of the messages, it really showed me what I needed to do for prayer, how I needed to cleanse my life before I even go to God in prayer. God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. He wants me to be clean. And Harold Vaughn talked about closing off in the morning. I would pray during the day. I wouldn't give God my first fruit. I wouldn't sit over there and I could pray, you know, in a lunchroom. And I just realized after Harold preached that, I went back and prayed in my room the following morning. And I was there praying, and I heard the distractions in the hall. I heard the refrigerator hum. I heard the heat come on. So as stupid as it sounds, I put my fingers in my ear, and it was just me and God alone. And he got to pray, and I believe he heard me. And I also learned about prayer. We should expect our prayers to be answered. Don't just pray just to pray. You know, pray with an expectation that God is going to answer. And the other thing that I learned was that quote from David Gibbs. He said, God doesn't want to show us how small he is, but he wants to show us how great he is. So when we pray for great things. We pray for big things so God could get the glory. Amen. And that was it.
Well, I think the thing that I came away with the most, and I've been thinking about it, but I guess when you put it all in respect of when you hear all the speakers, is that how you start each day. And I usually do start my day with some coffee and stuff and making my list of what I have to do for work, but also, you know, reading the Daily Bread and sometimes reading different parts in the Bible. I love James. I love to go back to James. But I have to get more serious and just put my work papers aside and make sure that the Lord is done first. And spend a little more time and make it in depth rather than just kind of skimming over things and make sure I do my duty. But if we spend our time with the Lord first thing in the morning, I believe that a lot of the things that could happen to us won't happen to us during the day because we'll have more of the mind of Christ and not the world.
Amen. Amen. So we're here to say what God did in our lives over the weekend, and I'd be remiss if I didn't. It wasn't Jim's cell phone that went off. It was, I was sitting there going, I should let him take the blame, but then the guilt started taking over. I had it in my hand to shut it off, and it went off. It's kind of funny. I know a lot of you saw the sermons over the internet, and powerful, powerful messages. But, you know, don't discount, if you've been to the prayer advances, don't discount the workshops and the breakout sessions. You know, a lot of times they're like, oh, well, it's just, you know, that's just real basic stuff. No, it isn't. The last session we were at, Dr. Gibbs talked about it, and he read these verses. He said in Colossians, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he said this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And he went on to explain that word spoil doesn't mean to spoil like food spoils, but it means to capture. And I thought, and he gave an illustration of a pastor friend of his who had purchased a new car, first new car he had ever owned. And his pastor friend told him that the car had his hooks in him. And he said he loved that car. And he said he knew it was a problem. And I thought to myself, wow, how many things can I say that about my life? And he Dr. Gibbs went on to say, he says, are there things in our life that we would be unwilling to just part with? No questions asked. Because if we're not, they have our hooks in us. And that's what it's talking about. He gave the illustration that, you know, when you're captured, when we're captured, it's like we're placed on Satan's trophy case. Well, that terrified me. And God just showed me, you know, there's things in your life. You got to stop loving those things. And you got to put me first. Amen.
This is my first prayer advance, and I loved everything about it. I even liked the bus ride. It was a time to get away from the humdrum of life and to get a perspective on what's really important. And what's important is our life connected with God. Amen. And I was overwhelmed with the singing that I heard and the camaraderie. I, you know, talked to some of the guys here I never talked to before that much. And the pastor, how he does what he does, driving that bus and everything he does, he's bionic.
You stole my term.
And, what's important to me too is become a better Christian, but also very important to me is become a better husband to my lovely and patient wife.
I've been going continuously. I missed it last year because of a bad foot, and I'm so glad I came this year. And I was a little worried about, hey, we're going to have this in a hotel. I mean, distractions, the world, and I was so happy to find out that we had it in a Christian community. So this is as close as we can possibly can come to Goshen, because we were separated from the people in the hotel, and that helped tremendously. And due to the circumstances, I ended up with a private room, and it helped. Because, the first day of the prayer advance was good, the singing was great, the speaking was great. But I was waiting for a connection with God. And I got that connection during the sweet hour of prayer. I went into my private room, closed the blinds, and I talked out loud to God, and I brought Jesus into my room. I could feel it. I ended up weeping. And what I basically did in that room is that I came clean with God. And after that, it was just fabulous. The rest of the afternoon and the following day, it was complete turnaround. And I felt the Holy Spirit. And what I've learned is that God does not listen to you unless you come clean with him first. You need to open up your soul, clean your soul, ask him to find everything that's wrong with you and expose it to you and confess it. And then God listened to me, and I felt the presence. And I've learned that at home. You know, my wife works during the day. I'm retired. I'm gonna find a room, close the door, get away from the dog, get away from the sound of the refrigerator, and just pray to God. You know, the dog can live for an hour without me, you know, and I want to try to duplicate that at home, because it was awesome. And also when I learned that when you pray, you have to expect God to not only listen to you, but answer your requests. And that if you come clean with God, he will listen to you. If you don't come clean with God, he may not. And this is what I learned from the prayer advance, and it was awesome. Pastor, thank you. You are bionic.
No one has shared anything what I'm about to share, so this is good. No one has stolen my lunch yet. Just get straight to the point. One of the most impactful, well, actually two impactful lessons that I've got from the prayer advance was actually the breakout session, where we get to choose and divide into small groups. And I prayed about two of them, both of them, where do I go? And through different circumstances and different decisions, I chose to go to each one of them, and both of them have been very profitable One of them was the one that I went to Friday afternoon, and it's entitled Marks of Christ Disciples. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Just kind of be straight, just be straight to the point without too much explanation. Christianity that we see in America is a lot different from Christianity from the Bible, if you know what I'm talking about. In America, we're thinking of prosperity. You know, if I'm saved, then all good things will happen to me. I'll get a lot of money. I'll live a comfortable life, especially the comfortable part. Where Christianity from the Bible, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to do a few things. First of all, you have to love God supremely. In Luke 14, when Jesus told his disciples or to people, if you're going to follow me, you have to love me more than my mother or my father or my brother and sister. Or in Luke, you have to hate your father and mother. If you do not hate your father and mother and you love me, the scripture says you cannot be my disciples. Not only you have to love God supremely, but also bear your cross, meaning deny yourself, taking up your cross, die to yourself. If you look at Christianity in the New Testament, many people have died for their faith. Many of the apostles, all of them were martyred. Apostle Paul, he was persecuted, beaten, thrown in jail, and even killed for his faith. And I don't think we have that same concept of today, just to deny yourself, to die to yourself, whether it's loving your wife, taking care of your children, taking care of the students in the Christian school, whatever it may be, you have to deny yourself because God did not call us to live a comfortable, easy life if you want to be his disciple. And lastly, count the cost. Being a disciple of Christ is a great thing, and it is a blessing, and there's nothing better than that. But it is a serious thing. You have to forsake all. As the scripture said, you must forsake all. If you don't forsake all, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. And the speaker emphasized that. If you do not forsake all. He didn't say, oh, you may be a persuado disciple. You may be a sort of half-hearted disciple. No, you cannot be my disciple if you do not forsake all you have. So whether it's forsaking up your distraction, forsaking your cell phone, forsaking Facebook, forsaking anything that is causing you to distract yourself from meeting with God, do those things. And then the other one, just to be quick, was ministering to the prodigal. Now, the person who led that was a very good singer. I remember sitting next to him when I was singing in the choir, which the guys get to sing in the choir, and he was speaking on this message about ministering to a prodigal. He and his wife had five children, and the oldest one was named Seth, if you could pray for him. And he remembered when Seth was 15, 16 years old at the Christian school, he was called off to the principal office and he was suspended. Not expelled, but suspended. And Seth bluntly shouted out saying, I don't believe in God. I don't want to be here in the Christian school. I don't believe in Jesus. And you can imagine if you were a parent and you have a child saying these things, it really, really thrust it hard. And it was just amazing, just the feeling. To this day, this man is still praying for his oldest son. All of his four younger children, they are faithfully serving God, have in their marriage, try to pray for praying for their oldest brother as well. But it's just an amazing thing because when he asked at the beginning of the service, he asked, how many of you have a prodigal son or daughter in your life? And there was about 50 of us that were there. About 75 to 80% of the audience raised their hands, and several of them weeping, begging people to share the testimony, begging for the prodigal to say, their prodigal will get saved. It's just amazing. And at the end of the service, the preacher asked us to write the name on a whiteboard, and every person was writing the name of a son or a daughter or multiple children, or in one case, a brother that is right now a prodigal. And it was like a list of 50 through 60 names that they pray for. And you may well know, you might know of someone who is a prodigal, a family member, or maybe you yourself were a prodigal, whether it's outside or just inside, meaning that you go to church every Sunday, but in your heart was far away from God because something in this world is distracting your life. And then he just encouraged them to keep praying, just keep praying. He talked about how you pray for the impossible. Pray for the impossible. If you know someone that is a prodigal in your life, again, a family member, a friend, anyone, continue to pray. Because expect God will do great things. And you just have to fervently, persistently pray that God will do a work and God will reach out that person's heart. One last thing. Sometimes a decision that you want to allow your child, that stood out to my mind is, if a person like that would go that deep, far away from God, let him go to the bottom, if you know what I'm talking about. If the prodigal son, he basically cursed at his father and say, just let me go and leave. And the father gave him money to the prodigal son, and the prodigal son spent all his money, and then he ended up lost all his money because of his riot spending, and he ended up sitting in a pig's den and realizing that he had nothing. It's easy. It may be different for us, where we want to protect our children, or we want to protect someone. I know if you're a parent, you want to protect your child, not going to that bottom. But if it's certain circumstances, as God is leading, if the only way that God can reach to that person is getting to that bottom, you're going to have to allow God to work in that so that they may see the misery of sin. They may see the misery of going down and deep, and it may be the only hope. Just as the prodigal son turned back and turned to the father, likewise, maybe your prodigal will turn back to you as well.
I always obey what the pastor says, and he said, no notes. So, Pastor, don't worry about it because it's all up here. And nobody has to worry about it. This is my third prayer advance. And every time I went to the prayer advance, it's always different. The size of this prayer advance, the size of the people, the size of the room was absolutely mind-boggling. When they started to sing and started to pray, you could feel it. You could feel the spirit. What I got out of it, I found out that my prayer life was a sham. It was absolutely worthless because I wasn't putting myself into it. You know, you've got to put yourself all in, and I wasn't. I was copping out. And the unity and the togetherness that we, especially the church, everybody on the church, you know, there was a call for if you had a burden. I don't know if it would make it through this one. And I got up out of my seat. I started to walk down, and Alan followed me up. And I bent down. I started to pray. And he supported me. He got down his knees next to me, and he can't run a marathon, but you know, he was there when I needed it. And he come up and told me that, you know, he knew what I was praying for, and he backed me up on it. And that's what I like, the unity, because we're under one umbrella, and that's Jesus Christ. I thank you, Pastor, for everything.